Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
Well, with one out, here is Richie Allen. Allen has faced Lindy McDaniel many times in the National League. There's a long drive deep center, way back in my face. It could be, hey, almost into the net. Holy cow! Richie Allen hit one into the center field stand. I almost got it with my net. It hit a fan's hand right in front of me.
The great Harry Carey.
Shirtless out there in center field with a net in case a home run comes close. Calling the home run from the brand new Hall of Famer, White Sox great, and a few other places as well, Dick Allen.
It's so nice to go to his baseball reference page and see the yellow banner Hall of Fame.
That's cool. A lot of people have been wanting this for a long time.
I'm one of them because his numbers say that he's a Hall of Famer. When you end up with a career OPS of 912, usually 850, 860 is about where the Hall of Famers are. When you start talking about OPS and seeing a guy with a 912 OPS and a league MVP and a rookie of the year and a bunch of all-stars not be in the Hall of Fame is ridiculous.
Seven All-Star games, rookie of the year, MVP. I saw this stat because I agree with you. His OPS plus, a regular OPS plus is 100. That's the baseline. His was 156 among all players in the history of baseball with 7,000 plate appearances. His 156 OPS plus is tied for 14th all time with Frank Thomas. So he and Frank Thomas, identical OPS pluses in their career. And the thing about Dick Allen, and call him Dick because that's his name and that's what he wanted to be called his entire life, is that he was a brilliant hitter with tons of slugging consistency in a great pitching era. Like, it included those late 60s and the year of the pitcher, 68, before they lowered the freaking mound because Bob Gibson had a 1.12 and he was in the National League as a member of the Phillies, and Denny McLean won 30 games, all that stuff. And he was truly great. That MVP year of 72, the composite ERA in the American League was 3.47. That was the ERA in the American League, and Dick Allen had the year he had.
Even in the year of the pitcher, his slash was 263, 352, 520. 872 OPS in that season, and a 160 OPS plus that season.
Guys who were great in that era, it's kind of akin to the way I think about Pedro Martinez, who dominated in the steroids era for hitters. If you were a great hitter between like 64 and 74, which was Dick Allen's prime, you were really, truly special. And he was truly special.
And now he gets the opportunity to posthumously go into the Hall of Fame. And I saw the video of his son when the announcement is made. That's beautiful to see that man's lifelong dream of being a Hall of Fame player, he finally gets it. Unfortunately, it happens long after his death, and it boggles the mind when you start thinking about all of the people that left him out of this. I thought Layla made a really great point about the gatekeeping. And I get that the Baseball Writers Association of America is a really important journalistic group. But it's always bothered me that there were people on the electronic side of media that clearly belonged in the voting for Hall of Fame that because they weren't members weren't allowed to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even our own Bruce, like that's who's seen more baseball in Chicago than Bruce Levine?
Oh, yeah, no, it's crazy. It's crazy that he
Bob
doesn't
Costas,
have.
Bob Costas. You know what I mean? Like they're real people that are stewards of the game that didn't have 10 years, which is that's the rule that you have to have 10 years of covering the game to be able to vote for the Hall of Fame.
These two guys got in via the Veterans Committee, just a 16-member Hall of Fame board appointed electorate that has some former players like Paul Molitor, Eddie Murray, Lee Smith, and Joe Torre, and then some major league executives and people like that. So this was the smaller Veterans Committee that finally voted in Dick Allen and Dave Parker. But there's certainly, it was Veterans Committee in 2014 as well. When Dick Allen didn't get in, when he was alive and would have really enjoyed this, to your point. There's it's a career of sociological importance. I mean, they called him Richie. His manager in Philly, Gene Mauch, called him Richie, and he didn't want to be called Richie. He's 22 years old. The man's name is Dick, and they decided to call him Richie, which he felt was diminutive. They threw stuff at him.
Threw batteries at him. That's why he had to wear a helmet in the outfield.
His entire career, he wore batting helmet.
In his home park.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's an important thing to remember here. When you start thinking about Philadelphia and the Philadelphia franchise, in the history of the game, they were the last team, the last one to integrate. 10 years after Jackie Robinson.
57.
10 years.
I think the Red Sox might have been even after them. But they
in the
were,
National League.
They were the last National League team to integrate. Yeah, that's proud Red Sox association.
I think they're the last in all of baseball.
Red Sox?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it Jim Rice? Was he the...
No, I think it was a guy named Pumpsy Green.
My guy.
Good old Pumpsy. So they were the last team. But you're right. Philly, he was treated terribly. An insanely volatile career in Philly because he was treated bad and then his behavior... Like
might have reflected that
100%. It deteriorated and he pushed back and it was, but you know what he did the entire time was rake. He raked the entire freaking time that all that stuff was going on, but traded to the Cardinals in a deal for Curt Flood. Yes, that was the famous trade that Curt Flood refused and started that. He was good as a Cardinal, was Dick Allen, pretty good as a Dodger, traded to the White Sox for Tommy John. And then the White Sox...
Who was also on the list and didn't make it this time.
Yes. But the White Sox embraced Dick Allen, and he embraced Chicago. He said that Chicago was the first city to really call him Dick, to call him Dick Allen. And he said, I made my mind up right then that Dick Allen was going to pay back Chicago for the respect they were giving me.
Remember how when you were talking about Juan Soto, like the small things mattering to people, that... It's that sort of thing where there is a level of respect that is paid to the man that he goes, okay, I can embrace being here. And what does he give you that first season? A season 8.6 war when he wins the MVP. His slash line for the White Sox in 1972, 308, 420, 603. His OPS plus that year was 199.
An outrageous season. His manager, Chuck Tanner, and his former teammate, now the late Bill Melton, talked about Dick Allen's MVP season.
I think by watching Dick Allen through that year, Dick Allen is a leader, but Dick Allen doesn't have to say anything. I think Dick Allen leads by example. We look at his average, 308, 37 home runs. To me, he hit about 390. For a season of 162 games, Dick Allen not only hit in the clutch when it was necessary or stole the base, but even his outs. I mean, he just hit the ball as hard as anybody through a year that I had seen.
Amen. Dick Allen was the leading vote-getter in the 72 All-Star game, and he played all season at a near Triple Crown pace.
It could be 110 degrees out, and he had long underwear on and 100% long-sleeve shirt that hung down over his wrist, and he took that mammoth log up to the plate with it and wiggled around like it was a toothpick. And he was the Cadillac of the day. He was the man who, at the end of the year, they had to make him the most valuable player in the league because you hit the ball as hard as anybody can or will or ever has. And to me, he's extra special. I really believe that Dick Allen saved the Chicago White Sox franchise. He carried us on his back. Nobody did what he did. Nobody contributed like he did to a ball club. And there's no question in my mind, he had the greatest individual year of any player I've ever seen or managed.
You hear that last bit, he saved the franchise. You're like, come on. But that was a team that they had played games in Milwaukee, man. They were talking about leaving. Their attendance was under like 800 grand. And then all of a sudden, they had 3 years of over a million with Dick Allen and Melton and Harry Carey broadcasting. They got totally revitalized.
Yeah, so you hear all the... And he was just cool.
Oh, dude.
Like, he was just cool. And coolness matters in baseball. Or at least it should. And seeing him just be that guy. All you need to do is look up the Sports Illustrated cover. Just look it up.
Yeah.
With Dick Allen on the front of it. And you get that. You get the vibe of it. And I'm so happy because people who have listened to me on The Score over the last few years know that this has been a thing that's been stuck in my craw. The fact that he isn't in the Hall of Fame. And we know that a big portion of the reason that he wasn't in the Hall of Fame is because of that relationship that he had with Philadelphia and Philadelphia media.
Yeah, for sure. Some old media guard made it impossible that he would get in on the writer's ballots. Yeah. It had to be the veterans.
Some real gatekeeping that went on for a myriad reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to some of the new guard, though, even in town. Megan Montemurro, who covers the Cubs for the Tribune, she worked in Philly for forever, and she wrote a couple of different columns saying, why isn't he more beloved? And why isn't he in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, and that kind of stuff ended up mattering, as is did, you know, eventually they start valuing walks and on-base percentage. Like, he was a big on-base percentage guy, and that mattered. And the shortness of the career.
His on-base percentage for his career was .378.
Outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. One more thing, as you talked about cool, it is because of him and the White Sox organist, Nancy Faust, that walk-up songs were invented. This is a great story.
The walk-up songs was something I always enjoyed at the old yard.
Dick Allen was her favorite player, and when he came up to bat, she would play Jesus Christ Superstar, which is exactly what he was, a superstar.
Credit to Last Comiskey that she invented the walk-up song for Dick Allen. And then...
So dope.
It's everywhere, obviously. It's pervasive in all of sports. That's where it got invented, right there. Just awesome.
So congratulations to the Cobra, and congratulations to Dick Allen.
Man, anytime I do a draft of great right field throwing arms, which we do from time to time, maybe not during this baseball hour, because that is, you know, we've done enough. But Dave Parker's name comes up with good reason.
And two guys, like from a personality standpoint, they're very different in their style publicly. Seeing both of them get into the Hall of Fame did my heart real good.
Good stuff. Hope you enjoyed the first ever baseball hour on Spiegel and Holmes.
Yeah, when we come back, something happened last night that Spiegs was kind of excited about.
And then I didn't last very long.
We'll explain what... Wait, we should change that tease.
Oh. No. Well, we were talking about a guy named Dick with a mammoth log.
Correct. Right, we were talking about something else that Spiegs was really excited about and then didn't last long with.
What?
We'll talk about that next here on The Score.